Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Hey, you know, John, one of the things that I love about this show is that we get to have so many wonderful guests come on and tell their story, because everyone has a story on this, or they will have one.
Well, and as you say in the intro and outro and everything, there are 65 million of us out there.
And the number's growing. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. This is a month that we take some time to spotlight what's going on in here. And our guest today on the line with us, she's calling in from California. This is Liz Hernandez. You know her from stage and screen and radio. She's been all over the place. Access Hollywood, radio, HBO stuff. She's everywhere. But you know what? She's a caregiver. And she's been journeying through this thing with her family, with her mother with Alzheimer's. And she's here to talk about that. So welcome to the show, Liz.
Thank you. Hi, Peter. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Liz? Glad to have you.
How long, Liz, were you on Power 106?
I did radio on Power for 10 and a half years.
And then MTV, yeah. And then you Access Hollywood and E! Online.
I went from MTV to E! News to Access Hollywood.
Man,
it's been quite a journey.
Well, and what brings you here today is because you have stepped into that role as caregiver. And I got to ask you, your mom was diagnosed when she was just 68, which is not old.
No, she was actually just turning 68. She was 67, just 1 month before her 68th birthday. And it's too young. It's just way too young.
But you guys have been dealing with that. You saw things happening for several years, you said, before then. And you kind of suspected some things?
It's one of those things, Peter, where I think as a family, you go into denial because you don't ever believe. You know, Alzheimer's was one of those words that I had heard on the TV but just thought we were exempt. Like, that doesn't happen to us. My grandfather lived to be almost 100. My mom's dad was in his 90s, and nobody on either side of my family had any kind of illnesses. So I just didn't think, you know, it's so naive in my thinking now, but I thought we were exempt. And so when my mom started showing these signs, I didn't know what the symptoms for dementia, Alzheimer's was. And we just chalked it up to my mom being, you know, mom's just being mom, or mom's being kooky, or mom's stressed out. And looking back, I just wish I would have known the warning signs, because I feel like, A, we could have gotten her help a lot sooner, and B, she would have had a say in the type of care she wanted, not what we wanted for her, which, of course, we're going to make the best decisions. But how beautiful if she would have been able to make some of her own decisions.
Well, that's one of the things I've heard you say is that here's a quote from you. You have to realize that the person who has the disease still has a voice. And I can hear the frustration that you have, that you didn't have that opportunity to give your mom the voice that she wanted to have. And you're doing the best you can to fill that in.
Yeah, you know, in the beginning, too, you go into hyper overdrive. You're just so, you know, it's scary. There's no blueprint. I've never done this before. And you're so concerned in the beginning about what you're losing. You're thinking, oh, my gosh, she doesn't remember this, or she's losing that, or her speech is going. And one thing, if I could say, the biggest lesson for me is to not focus on what you're losing when it comes to this disease, is focus on what the person still has. Because they still have so much to offer. And, you know, it's like you go into automatic, I went into automatic, like, mother bear. It, like, the roles had reversed, and I became the mother and she became the child. And I was just trying so hard to protect her and making sure that she was comforted and okay, that I didn't really stop to just appreciate the things that she still had left to give. You know, of course, later on that sets in, but in the beginning it was just, you know, like I said, you go into a panic mode almost.
Well, I've noticed that with a lot of caregivers, when the call comes in, we rush. I mean, really freak out about it. And it sounds like that was consistent with where you guys were when you got that call. How did that go down when the diagnosis came and said, okay, this is what we're dealing with? What happened with you and your family? How did you come together as a family? Walk us through some of those things.
So a year before, it was actually less than a year before my mom was diagnosed. We had an intervention with her at one point because, again, it was becoming pretty consistent in her behavior, that she was losing her car keys, or she was becoming paranoid, and she was you know, slowly breaking down. And so we did a small family intervention. We had pointed out to her the things that we had noticed. And my mom was very good. You know, she's very prideful. She's a Latin woman. And she told us, no, I'm very stressed out. I'm just very stressed out. I need a vacation. And so we kind of, you know, like I said, had we known the warning signs, we would have said, no way, we're taking you to a physician, which we ended up doing anyway. And that's the scary thing about, you know, this disease is it affects every person differently. We took my mom to get brain scans, and they told us that her brain was just, you know, they saw a little deterioration, but it was just aging like a normal person's brain should age. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't have the education to know that if had we taken her to a neurologist, they would have been able to tell us what we needed. They would have seen the symptoms right away, you know. So once we finally did take my mom for an overall physical to make sure she was okay and we were given the diagnosis, I don't think it was a shock to us, but it was more like, you're, like I said, you live in denial. You're on denial island for a long time. And when you finally get the absolute diagnosis, it's just, you know, you feel a bit helpless. You know, you just think, God, it feels a little bit like a death sentence, not just for the person who has it, but for the whole family, because you don't know what you're up against. And again, you know, fear sets in only because you're not educated on the disease. And I feel like once I actually educated myself on the disease, a lot of the fears had subsided and I was able to start enjoying my mom again, as opposed to just living, you know, that, like, you have that fight or flight response, and I was living on the fight response. And I don't know. It's such a hard thing to explain, but it's like once you begin to calm down, you can really go into being a true caregiver.
What are some tips that you would offer to families that are in this kind of situation where you are right now, that are in that kind of rush to do everything? We're gonna freak out. We're gonna get everything done today, kind of thing. tell some folks out there from your experience, what are some things you learned the hard way that would help them right now?
You know, this I would say again: focus on what they have, not what they have lost. It's not a death sentence, and it's not a, you know, you can't feel defeated because the person that you, like I said, this was my mother, this was the love of my life, my insides, and it was so hard to grasp, like to wrap my head around the fact that, oh my gosh, you know, people say that, you know, she's not going to remember my name one day or who I am one day. And it's so silly to go there. You know, if you just come from a place of love as opposed to a place of fear, you can just start appreciating, slow down and catch your breath and just realize again that they still have so much. You know, you can't fixate on the memories or the skills that they're losing. You have to fixate on the strengths that they have and the conversations that they're still able to have. Because even when my mom was first diagnosed, she had clear language. You know, fast forward now, it's been 3 years and my mom has lost almost 90% of her language. And now in hindsight, I think, gosh, I wish I would have had so many more conversations with her or asked her so many more questions. So that's what I would say. If I could give one piece of advice, focus on what you have, not what you've lost.
As you've journeyed down this path, what are some steps that you've taken specifically to protect your own heart in this, because you're grieving. It's a long goodbye. It's a daily grieving process. I had Kim Campbell was on the show recently, Glenn Campbell's wife, and he's in the latter stages of this as well. And, you know, we talked about that. And I want to just, from your perspective, this is your mother. This is a lot of women. They say that when a woman loses her mother, it's like losing the North Star. Does that kind of resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, it's not just, it's my insides. It's my everything. And my mom is, you know, she's my best friend. But I will say, you know, the important thing is to have a really strong support system. Like, that's so, so important, because you need people to talk you off the edge some of the times, because it does feel devastating. But, you know, the great thing about it is, like you said, it's a long goodbye, and I have learned that I know who I am, and I know that I'm not the type of person who would have been able to handle, like, the, you know, the expression, God only gives you what you can handle. I know that if someone would have called me and just got that call at 2 a.m. and said, your mom's not here anymore, I don't know how I would have been able to live my life. I think it would have been devastating for me. I think I would have become a completely different person. And because this has landed on our front door and I'm now able to appreciate my mom even more so. I appreciate every day with her. I write down little phrases she says. I asked her all her favorite things, her favorite color, her favorite food, her favorite place to travel, what she loved most about everyone in our family. And those things I cherish. She wasn't ripped away from me. And it is a very slow, and it's a hard goodbye. It's not by no means easy. You know, there's those days where I'll spend four hours with my mom, just, you know, talking with her, and then she'll say to me, you remind me so much of my daughter, Elizabeth. And I just have to laugh. You have to laugh, because there's going to be days that are extremely hard, and I always say give yourself a break, because there's days where they're going to spill water all over themselves, and there's going to be days where you spill water all over them, and you just have to tell yourself it's okay, because you know what? We're both trying our best.
Well, now you have – how many siblings do you have?
I have three sisters.
Three sisters. So how has this affected the dynamic with you all if you come together to kind of work through these things? Has that been a bumpy road, or has that been a nurturing road between the four of you, or that you've been able to grow and appreciate each other differently? How's that worked?
Absolutely. You know, you go through, like any family, you have your struggles with it, and then you grow stronger from it. But I will say it wasn't always easy in the beginning, because you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and everyone has an idea of what's best for mom. And, you know, everyone is, again, you know, you have to go into it with compassion, because everyone at the end of the day feels like they're doing their very best, and not everyone's going to agree, you know. It was really hard for me, because I'm the youngest, and I believed that I wanted my mom to stay home in her house, and I didn't want to move her from there, and I wanted to quit my job, and I wanted to care for her, and everyone thought I was crazy, and they just thought that wasn't a safe environment. And you have to kind of, it's a take and give, you know, like with any relationship. And those were the things I had to learn. But I thought I was just doing my best to protect my mom and to protect her wishes and what would she want. And sometimes it's not always about the nostalgia of what someone would want. It's about what is going to be the safest environment for them and the one where they're going to be able to have the most success. And like I said, it was all a learning process for me. So, yeah, we definitely went through our struggles. But I think now we're in a great place where all of us have come together to support one another.
One of the things I tell my fellow caregivers is the goal for us as caregivers is that one day we stand at a grave. And that's the number one goal, is that we're the ones standing. It's not that we can't go before them. It's just we just don't want to, because, for my case, I don't want my wife or my sons to have to carry on without me being there. I would not want them. It's going to be much harder for them if I'm not here. And so I want to do what I can to outlive her, which is a hard reality, but that's my reality. But I don't want to stand at that grave with clenched fist, either at my wife or family and friends that didn't help the way I felt like they should, or at myself or at doctors or at God. I want to learn to be at peace with this. Has that been a resonating theme with you through this thing of you learning to be at peace? It sounds like it has when you've accepted the here and now. We're going to focus on what she has left. What are some other things that you've done to help be at peace with this thing as you grieve? And you're grieving. I mean, you got a lot of tears that come through this thing, but you're grieving healthily, not in despair, but you're grieving as a healthy person. What are some things that you could share with others who are in this? Because people are so torqued about this issue. They are falling apart. Families are coming to blows over this. Your family hasn't come to blows. Your family has not gone into just a pit of despair. You've been able to pull together. What do you think is doing that? What are some tips you'd offer? What are some things you'd like to share with others?
You know, gosh, it's so hard to say unless you're in someone else's shoes, because I understand at the end of the day, everyone has their own reasonings for why they want what they want for someone they love. But the best advice I can give is you have to take yourself out of the equation and you have to think about the person. You know, I always say, what would my mom want? Or what would I want if I was in my mom's shoes? How would I want to be cared for? I definitely know I wouldn't want my daughters fighting. I would want them to be closer than ever. Those are the things I always think is, it's like with any situation, you always have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And you have to pray on it, and you have to ask for guidance. You know, we can't do it on our own. You know, He's the only one that can help us do it ourselves. You know, give us the strength to do it. And it's not just confidence and I know what I'm doing. No, you've got to ask for help from up above. And I really think that's a big part of it.
As the old hymn says, "Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow." Well, real quick on one thing here, I want to talk a little bit about Wordiful, and I want to do that when we come back from the break. Can you hang on with us just a little bit longer?
You got it, Peter.
Listen, we're talking with Liz Hernandez. You know her from Access Hollywood and so many of the other things she's done out in the public eye, but you know what? She's a caregiver. She's carrying this weight on her heart just like the rest of us are. And she's juggling it with grace and with dignity, with compassion, with love, and her family's come together with this, and she's walked through it for several years now. And you can hear it. You can hear the growth that she's gone through and the acceptance of this, where she's at peace with it, even though she's still dealing with it and it's still painful. You can have that, too. You can have that, too. That's what this show is all about, and we're so glad you're with us. 800-688-9522 if you want to be on the show. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberg. Welcome back to the show. We are talking with Liz Hernandez. You know her from all of the things she's done in radio and television, Access Hollywood. She's been on HBO doing stuff. Oh, she's all over the map, but she's a caregiver, and she's been taking care of her mother, and she's watched this long goodbye of her mother dealing with Alzheimer's, and the family's come together. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, and she's here sharing her thoughts with us. And Liz, I want to switch gears a little bit on a new project you've started called Wordiful that you've got out there and the YouTube channel that you've created and so forth. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Wordiful is, simply put, words are powerful, all brought together. And I drink from a lot of good books, and one of my favorites is The Four Agreements. And Don Miguel Ruiz said that we need to be impeccable with our words. And he said if there was any of the four agreements that we could implement into our lives that would completely change our lives, it would be being powerful with our words. And I thought, wow, what a great thing, you know, to every day to speak with integrity, to really be responsible with what we, because we speak things into fruition. And I don't think we understand how much words can either build us up or break us down. And I just thought, you know, I need to take responsibility for what I'm speaking every day, not just to other people, but to myself especially. And, you know, I've been given these amazing platforms, and, you know, even though I'm a so-called TV host, I consider myself a communicator first. And that's really where my joy and my love and my passion is at. And so I just thought, you know, I'm just going to create this YouTube channel called Wordiful, and it'll just be 60-second videos talking about the power of words and how we use them. And I never, like, just like your show, it has become very therapeutic for me, because I don't want to just go down in the books as a talking entertainment head. No, you know, I love what I do, but I also want to have a message. To me, it's so important to have a message and for people to be able to share that message. And it has to come from a place of love. And that's where that comes from. And that's where that idea was birthed.
Well, as you walk through this long valley of the shadow of death, you know, that's where the substance is coming from, and the growth that you bring such a weight to what you're talking about right now. And I do appreciate it. And it comes through in your voice, Liz. You have communicated clearly that you've been willing to walk with eyes wide open through some very painful places. And in doing so, it's changed you, and it's given you a sense of mission to reach others. And I wanted to, as we're going to wrap up here in just a little bit, you know, out of time here at the top of the hour, but I did want to ask you something about this. I did not know this, that Alzheimer's is more prominent in Hispanic and African American communities.
It is. It is.
And you're taking this on, aren't you?
I absolutely am. You know, when my mom was first diagnosed, I didn't talk about it for almost a year because, again, the way I was brought up, it was that you handled your family problems within your family. And when I saw the statistics on how many of people in my culture were being affected by this, I thought, no, the right thing to do is to spread the message. I have to do this in honor of my mother and to make sure that nobody else goes through the same pain, you know? I thought, if I just don't speak up, this all the hurt and all the anguish I have felt, it goes in vain. And so, you know, I'm just a little voice, but
John and I would agree that you are not just a little voice. You are honoring your mother. That's a great way to put it. You are honoring your mother by taking this message to others because that's what she would do. It sounds like that's exactly what she would do.
I think so. I think that's what she would want. And, you know, like I said, if I can help another family avoid some of the hardship, please go on ALZ.org and look at the warning signs and share them with your friends. Don't just assume that it's never going to happen to you because that was, I think, the most naive thing I've ever done in my life is assuming that something like this wouldn't happen to my family. And it's just we never know, you know, and that's the thing I say now to everyone I meet. I said, no one is exempt. We always get, you know, we all get dealt different hands in some fashion or some way. You know, it may not be Alzheimer's, but we all know someone who's had cancer. We all have known someone who something has happened, and it's how we deal with it and how we get through it that really shows our character and what this life is all about. And you know, I will say I had a really good friend of mine, and this was just like 6 months ago. I am the sensitive one in my family. Like, I get very emotional about everything. We were having a dinner conversation, and I was telling my girlfriend, I said, you know, my mom used to always tell me when I was younger, mija, don't cry. You need to be stronger. You need to be, like, she's saying in Spanish, que tienes fuerza. And my friend Gina said to me, do you ever think that this whole path that your mom is on is just to make you stronger? And it was one of those aha moments where I just thought, wow, this is what life is all about.
Well, one of the things we see on the show is it's not about feeling better. We're never going to feel better about these things. These are painful things. Your mom is dealing with Alzheimer's. You're losing your mom. My wife is dealing with severe disabilities. We're never going to feel better about that sort of stuff. But we could be better in it. We can be better in it, and we can help others as well. I tell people I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. You know, I've failed at everything I've done, but in the failure, I've learned these things like you. And I'm on a mission with this, and I really appreciate what you have said here, that you have shown this. You've been willing to take these lumps, these painful things, and you've gotten stronger with it, and your voice is strong. It comes through. It really does, Liz, and I'm grateful. And you're right. You have to ask for help. You know, I'm a person of great faith in this, and it sounds like you are as well. And I can't do this on my own. I've tried, and it doesn't work. And you obviously have come to the same conclusion. It just does not work. It's too big.
No, and you know, you just have to remember, too, you have to be patient with yourself, and you have to be patient with the person you're caring for, because you are both doing your very best.
You really are. Listen, we are out of time. This has been a wonderful time with Liz Fernandez. I want you to go out and take a look at Wordiful. Now, if they want to just go out to YouTube and search Wordiful, or how do they do that to get to your channel?
Yeah, just, you know, I'll make it real easy on you. Just put in Liz Fernandez and Wordiful. They're pretty sure they'll pop up. If not, you can find all my handles. It's Liz Fernandez on Twitter, Liz Fernandez on Instagram, and everything leads to Wordiful. So, and my Instagram is Wordiful, and it's WORDAFUL. Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate
you. Thank you for taking the time.
John, thank you as well.
Oh, my pleasure, Liz. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in.
It's been a real treat, and we wish you and your family all the best here. I know that you've got some difficult days ahead of you, but I also know that you the strength that is coming through in you is going to sustain you in that as well. So you'll be in our hearts. You'll be in our prayers. And thank you for being willing to share this with others who are going through the same thing. It means a lot that you took the time to open up your heart here, and these words are great words, and so I do appreciate it.
Well, it's reciprocated, and I thank you for having me and letting me share my story. And again, you know, I really encourage everyone out there to go on ALZ.org and just to know the warning signs and to share them with your friends.
Awesome. Liz Hernandez, we are so grateful. This is why we do the show, and we're so grateful you took the time this afternoon to listen to us talk about these things, and you can find out more at caregiverswithhope.com, caregiverswithhope.com, and we'll see you next week. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is the nation's number one show for caregivers, and now you know why. We'll see you next time.